Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents The Finder Chronicles 2, Driving the Deep, by Suzanne Palmer. Narrated by Karen Novak and performed by a full cast. In the center of the spindle tube, between two sections of the shipyard, tumbling with a casual grace of zero gravity, there was a giant, magenta, inflatable hamster. Fergus Ferguson reached out to a wall bar to slow himself before he collided with it. The last unattended animal he'd run across had been a 4-meter-long robotic snake that had chased him through 3 sections of HAB before he managed to lock himself in a closet. The footage, perspective of the snake, naturally, was looping on all shipyard vid monitors for a week.
Mason?
There was no answer. No sound of snickering from beyond the next set of blast doors. Wary, he moved closer, inspecting the hamster from arm's length. There was no faint, resonating buzz in his gut to indicate something electrified. No detail that stood out to suggest it was anything other than the obvious. Fergus backed away, then shoved off through the doorway with only a few paranoid glances behind him. The hamster didn't explode, didn't call out to him, and best of all, didn't follow. In the 2 months or so that he'd been back there, Fergus had explored far more of the shipyard than he ever had before, but still figured he'd seen less than 20% of it. Most of the remaining spaces weren't easily accessible, and even if they had been, were too dangerous for casual solo adventuring. The army of bots doing the heavy work of building spaceships vastly outnumbered the tiny handful of people doing the thinking and inventing and goofing off, and it was best not to get in their way. From the spindle that ran the length of the orbital station, Fergus dropped into a connecting corridor that led to one of the habitable rings. And as he floated down, he admired for the 1,000th time the view of Pluto's surface below. The planet. Hundreds of years later, there was still active resistance to its demotion to microplanet. Was a beautiful tapestry of browns and blacks and tans, spun together like a rich, poorly stirred hot chocolate, even down to the tiny hint of foam at its polar cap. There were only a few lights visible from there, nav beacons and communications boosters and automated science stations, none of them designed for occupation. Pluto and its partner rock Charon were positioned in precisely the sweet spot in terms of privacy, of being far enough out that, if you were going to go this far, odds were good you'd just keep going until you found brighter skies again around some other star, and never even notice it as you passed it by. Between spindle and ring, the artificial gravity kicked in, and he walked rather than floated into the main lounge. Nora and Kelsey were both there, hunched over a holo display, with data scrolling rapidly past underneath an undulating set of blue lines drawn in air. Kelsey glanced up from the console.
Hey, Ferg!
The roundness of her face was accentuated by her close-cropped blonde hair and nearly consumed by the omnipresent wide grin that was the essence of Kelsey to the core. Nora was her opposite, with long, tight springs of black hair that spread out in a glorious halo around her olive-toned face.
You know anything about the giant hamster floating in Corridor 9?
Did you touch it?
No.
Then no, I know nothing about it. You'd have to ask Mason.
Nora waved her hand through the screen, and both pattern and dataset changed.
You have a message.
Me?
Yes, you.
Who from?
Do you really think we'd violate your privacy by watching your personal messages?
I?
Then it's from your friend Mari. We like her.
Fergus headed over to Ignacio's console, brushed green fur off the chair, and sat. His leg ached dully from the transition into grav, but he was grateful he still had a leg at all. For a while, it wasn't clear he would.
Tomboy?
The steady green iris above the console stared at him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?